Welcome back, Full Circle Reviews.
In the house.
Present.
Yes.
Indeed.
This episode, we will be reviewing the 2011 action crime drama Machine Gun Preacher, which is a historical fiction flick.
And do they classify it as historical fiction?
Well, it's based on true story.
Yikes.
But fiction's made up, right?
Well, so not all of it's accurate.
True.
It seems like an oxymoron, though, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, very much so.
How can you say based on a true story about fiction?
Yeah. Pick a side.
Yeah, pick a side, people. Learn how to classify your own movie.
So it is based on Sam Childers,
yeah.
Autobiography. So it's not necessarily fully researched. It's based on his perspective only.
Okay.
So it is what it is. Right?
Yeah.
I can't debate that.
So this was a Justin pick, but today it's Kristen hosting, joined by Justin.
Get him.
And Luke.
That's me.
Justin, this was your pick. Do you want to give us a synopsis and a why did you pick it and who is it targeted for?
I'm sorry.
Luke can't stop laughing. That's why I picked it. I'm just kidding. I picked this movie because I had watched it two times prior, mm-hmm. one time when drinking, and I found the action scenes to be awesome, and the second time with you, and I felt like it was just emotionally pulling. Third time, definitely saw it from a totally different side. Quick synopsis, you have Sam Childers. He's an ex-biker, meth addict, turned to faith and family man contractor to... I don't know, savior, or so he'd sure. like to think he is.
Religious enthusiast.
He goes on a missionary to Southern Sudan and Northern Uganda and finds that the LRA, right? Is like murdering villages, kidnapping children, yeah. enforcing the boys to become soldiers and the little girls into sex slavery. And he tries to build them an orphanage. And while he's there, it like gets burned down. And so he becomes like obsessively compelled to fight off the LRA and protect these children. And I just feel like this movie is, you know, for probably a very certain group, definitely people who have a faith base in their life, a faith foundation in their life. And for people who are potentially looking for a cause to support, even though I think at times this movie doesn't depict that the greatest.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. Would you call him a fanatic?
I would call him, I believe at one point I called him an opportunist.
Okay.
And an obsessive compulsive crusader.
Oh, okay.
Obsessive, yes. Compulsive, yes. Yeah. Okay. I see where you come from on that.
All right.
Because he was very compulsive in his actions, and they illustrated that with his, like, you know, clearing out the safe.
Correct.
For the, you know, for literally, the cause.
I mean, at one point when I was watching this for a third time, it was the first time like I think saw the movie for what it truly is and really was able to reflect on it. And it was like the movie wants you to feel like he's doing all this for spirituality and faith, mm-hmm. and, you know, for the betterment of his family and different things. But in my opinion, it almost seemed like his spirituality and his family were abandoned for him to pick up guns and go kill.
Yeah.
Which seems counterproductive to the tone the movie would like to tell you it is.
I don't know if it's counterproductive. It's exactly what the title says it is.
Yeah.
You can't argue that. Yeah.
But would you say he's much of a preacher?
Yeah. Would I say he's an effective preacher? No.
See, I would argue that, you know, my position now is he's less of a preacher and more of a fundraiser. And he fundraises to raise money to continue his obsession.
In a religious forum.
Yeah.
Which would make him a preacher.
I feel
in a lot of ways his hand was forced into becoming a preacher. Like if he was fanatical.
When he was an opportunist.
He was, yes. But if he was fanatical when he went over to Sudan, mm-hmm. He would have gone over guns blazing and not experienced any loss like he did. I feel like that's one thing about the movie that I kind of did like, is that everything about it felt like it was his last effort like he was being forced into it. He had no other choice but to become violent. And I did kind of like that metamorphosis he made.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I'll give it that.
Okay.
I liked the movie.
Mm-hmm. That was really convincing.
You really liked it the first time you saw it.
I liked it more the first time than the second time. And I think because it was something different. But now that I've seen a number of movies that are a force for a cause.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or trying to bring... Okay, let me take it back. I can't compare it to Blood Diamond.
No. You can compare it on paper.
Not in any way that's going to be beneficial for this movie.
Gotcha, yeah.
Well, it has similar issues that it tries to raise awareness to.
Correct. But different movies.
Totally different class.
Of course.
Of movies.
Yeah. But if you're talking about bringing awareness into the things that are happening in Uganda and Sudan, exact same location
mm-hmm.
as Blood Diamond.
Mm-hmm.
And same kind of resistance army, same kind of situations and tragedies and ruthless, horrific things that are done
mm-hmm.
man to man. They're just a different class of movie.
Yeah.
Definitely. So I like the movie. There's things I really like about it. I love Gerard Butler.
Me too.
You know, and
guilty pleasure.
He's
underrated.
Do I think this is his best role? No. Do I think he played and do I think it's based on his acting? No. I think he did a great job portraying the character he was supposed to portray. It just is not one of my like guilty pleasure. Hey, if I'm going to watch a Gerard Butler movie, this is not the one that comes to mind of enjoyable.
Mine is Law Abiding Citizen.
I feel like this was his best acting performance. It's just the character he was given to play isn't the most likable, or he doesn't really have a lot of redeemable traits you go through it. You know, whereas Law Abiding Citizen or Olympus Has Fallen or 300 or some of these other movies Phantom of the Opera, Dracula 2000, you know, these other movies he's done.
What was the one with Katherine Heigl?
Have better characters, period.
I love
the romantic comedy.
Yes.
Where he's the dickhead who doesn't like women.
With Jennifer Aniston too.
In Bounty Hunter.
Yeah, that was cute.
Yeah.
Kind of fun rom-coms. What was the Katherine Heigl movie?
I don't remember. We'll have to come back to that.
Knocked Up?
No.
It was after that.
Anyway, mind blanking. So I like the movie. I think it has good aspects. I think it has...
The Ugly Truth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I think it has some weaknesses, but I don't think it's plot driven. I think it's just the character development of who Sam Childers is.
Yeah.
I found him extremely unlikable.
He was through the whole movie.
Everything about him was unlikable.
Now, do I agree with the cause and the feeling of wanting to help what he's trying to do? Yes. Do I agree with his mannerisms and how to do it? No.
Yeah. No.
So I think that's where I like that he's trying to go out there and help in a way that nobody else is willing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Do I think it's great to go out and help kids that need somebody because of the horrors they've been through? Awesome. But he's unlikable in that he abandoned his own family.
Yeah, and I think some of that might have been Hollywood. You know what I mean? I feel like you have a guy and on paper went from a drug-riddled world, robbing people, committing murder, doing different things, locked up, changing his life for faith, and then getting put on a cause that seems legit and something that you should stand up for, right? But in the movie, it just seems like it's all about him. Nobody else matters. Nothing, period, matters besides his anger and thirst for vengeance.
Would you call him a narcissist?
Oh, definitely. I think I
would too.
I wrote down, I saw something that said narcissistic armed humanitarianism.
Do you think he replaced his drug addiction with vengeance addiction?
That's something
he did.
Yeah, that's something he said we were talking about.
It's like, you know, some people, the best way for them to recover from addiction is to replace that addiction with another one.
Right? Exactly.
Whether that be medication, whether that be meetings, whether that be community service, whatever it is, it's, you know, some people, the only way they can cope is replacing an addiction with an addiction. Right. Mm-hmm. And he 100% is one of those people.
And having a background in addiction, you and I, mm-hmm. you could totally sympathize.
I could.
Yeah.
I mean, I could empathize.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, at some point, because of this movie, I had to realize that this was no longer about the cause. This was no longer about anything but his thirst for blood.
Correct.
You know, and it really showed Sam Childers in a bad light.
At what point do you think he crossed that threshold from being about the cause to being about?
Okay, so when he went on his first missionary, he went and they were like trying to build homes for all these hundreds of children, like out of sticks and like raw wood and different things, right? And he was, I feel like in that moment, it wasn't self-serving. He was truly trying to do this for the kids and thought he was doing a great thing. And when the LRA came and burned that down, that a fire ignited in him and he was not going to stop until he felt that vengeance was served.
Yeah, that's period. What I say too.
Now,
that spirituality, being said, everything aside, did not matter anymore.
No, it didn't.
I mean, he wanted to go and murder people, period.
So he used the platform of the church to push his own cause.
Correct. Right. I mean, that's crusader.
Great. Okay. I can see where you say that now.
Sure.
So in that aspect, would you say that regardless of his methods, that the replacement cause, whether we like him or not, is it believable that somebody who would come from addiction and murder and crime, becoming a born again Christian based faith, would easily come full circle and could fall into that type of a role?
I don't know.
Extreme or not?
I don't know, because you have an entire religion, whether I like it or not, Mormon and the Latter-day Saints, that do missionary trips all over the world and stuff like this happens.
I'm not saying, is it relatable? I'm saying, coming from who he was as a person that we saw at the beginning of the movie, I feel like it's plausible.
Yeah, it's plausible.
It doesn't make it likable.
Yeah, and you know, it makes sense that he would fall back into
who he really is.
He really is at heart a narcissistic person who likes violence.
That was my point.
Yeah.
So it's actually stayed true to the character.
Yeah, to the character that they portrayed. But Sam Childers did not like this movie at all.
Oh, that's interesting.
That is very interesting.
He did not like this movie at all. And
makes him look like shit.
And I was reading.
Yeah, there could be only one.
Well, there's a lot of things about that Hollywood did with the movie that are different. Like, you know, they show him shooting rocket launchers and things like that. He's like, I never did that. Mm-hmm. They show him like kicking his friend Donnie out because, you know, while he's out, he's with the family and he was starting to get jealous, but it never happened. Mm-hmm. They show Donnie dying because of that. Never happened. The character of Donnie was supposedly like a mixture of like five or six of his friends that he was always trying to help out. So they embodied that into one person.
Gotcha.
Interesting.
Right.
So they took several liberties.
They took a lot of liberties, yeah. You know,
and not in a positive way.
And not in a positive way. And one of the things that I read is that he was trying to do a documentary, and that's how this movie came to light. He was pushing that documentary in Hollywood. You know, some producers came to him and said, we want to make a movie. And they gave him a very small amount of money up front to be able to make this movie. And 3 years after it had been released, he was still waiting for his payout.
So he got screwed
because he was still trying to raise funds to go on his fight in Southern Sudan and continue to fight for these villages and these kids. And nobody would give him money because they just assumed he'd been paid millions of dollars for his story, but he had not.
So he got screwed.
Okay, so that's just nice. To touch on the production for a second. Was he an advisor or anything? It seems like if it's based on someone's life.
It's adapted from his book.
So he had his book and then he had taken like one of the producers and I think the director to like these places in Sudan and Uganda. And through that time had like shared his actual experiences while he was on the ground with them.
Okay.
And then they took that and wrote their story.
Okay. So he wasn't like apprised to the liberties they were taking at the time.
No, like when Donnie dies from the overdose, that never happened because, like I said, that was five or six people. Actually, what had happened is his stepson overdosed and they told him that's just too much for this type of movie. It would be too much for people to experience. But I mean, look what we watched in that movie. I don't think that's crazy. The case.
That is insane. Yeah.
So the title of historical fiction is actually
accurate.
Spot on. It just seems
like it's an oxymoron.
It does.
Jumbo shrimp.
And for the record, his... Happy Monday.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go.
For the record, his book is called Another Man's War.
Okay.
One thing I found interesting
is that, you know, the people he's fighting alongside with in South Sudan is the SPLA. Like, they're the good guys, the Sudan People's Liberation Army or something like that. And they actually tried to sue him for talking about them in the light that he was in his book and different things, because they did not want to be affiliated with him based on the way this movie portrayed him.
Interesting.
That is interesting.
That's very interesting.
What does that say?
Hollywood did a horrible job.
Yeah.
Because obviously they're allowing him to continue to come into the country and work with them and work with he bought a bunch of land in Uganda. He owns like 3 different 1,000-acre plots where they've built on and done different things to house people. So if they're allowing him to do these things, obviously they like his methods or at least want him to continue to help people. But for them to come out and like try and get a cease and desist for him, people to stop talking about the SPLA, then.
That is interesting.
That's very
something bad happened.
It's thought provoking.
It is.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was not well portrayed. He was not portrayed in any sort of a positive light. And I think that's my biggest gripe about the movie is that really his motive, I would argue, changed from just being there for
religious
and volunteering and philanthrop type behaviors into a vendetta. But I'm going to argue that a lot of people, if they had seen what he saw and lived what he lived, would have a lot of anger. Now, I'm not saying everybody would resort to being comfortable with that kind of violence.
And literally become
I'm telling you, you see a lot of kids being dismembered, and it's going to be hard not to understand why he's so angry.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, war is brutal.
And I think that was a missed mark.
Yeah.
On really showing that transformation.
Sure. I would agree.
Think of Breaking Bad. I know Luke hasn't seen it yet.
I have not.
You watch Walter from the beginning to the end, and it is 100% understandable why he changed the way he did.
Yeah.
And we're talking full 180.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I feel like they could have done a better job of getting you to understand where he's coming from.
I agree.
So
they should have done a better job.
They should have,
because they started off making him look like he's out to do good and he's doing the right thing. And then it, for me watching it the third time, I mean, he looked like
strung out,
opportunistic,
yes,
ego driven, maniacal murderer.
The thing that stood out to me the most is I felt he became desperation.
Yeah.
I think that's like kind of the transition from the very beginning when he's first baptized mm-hmm. to the very end. He had to become desperation and do desperate things to achieve the goal.
Yeah.
So that's how I saw him.
He starts pulling money from people that are lesser off than he is to continue to fight this battle, knowing that they can't afford this, but he can't afford it anymore because he's invested all his family's money in it as well.
Yeah.
Interesting. Do you think he would have done this with or without the wife's support?
Yes.
Without a doubt.
Done it no matter what obstacle was in his way.
If she hadn't given him the safe code, he would have taken it with him and chiseled it open.
Exactly. I mean, that's the way the movie depicts him.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, interesting. So
it makes him unlikable.
Yes.
It really does. The way he treated his wife, when he was strung out, even when he was sober and on his crusade, it made him super unlikable.
Yeah. Well, the whole part about how, you know, you're going to go back to stripping and, you know, you're.
Oh, yeah.
When he first got out.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I hated him.
He's so
at that
unlikable.
Point.
Yeah. And they tried to redeem that, but then.
Not well, though.
It was brief. It was very brief. Oh, I'm going to build a church.
Yeah.
You know, because we don't have one and blah, blah, blah. I'm going to start my construction company. I'm going to do well for my family. So it started trying to change that tone.
And it seemed like religion was helping him do that. And he was finding his way through that kind of guidance.
But because he was like him himself was moving away from that, it made the religion aspect of the movie very forced.
Right.
Yes.
Perfect. Heavy handed.
Yeah.
Agreed. So the director of this is Mark Forster.
Okay.
Forster. Yeah. He also directed World War Z.
Oh, I like that movie.
I dig that movie.
Yeah. Quantum of Solace.
Love that movie.
Never seen it.
James
Kite
Bond.
Runner.
Oh.
Finding Neverland.
Okay.
And Stranger Than Fiction.
Wait, Finding Neverland.
Johnny Depp.
Neverland. I was thinking the Michael Jackson.
No. Oh, Finding Neverland is the one choice. With.
I mean, they both have Lost Boys, but come on.
Justin. Oof.
No, Finding Neverland was Johnny Depp and Kate Winslet.
I believe you.
So anyhow, the other things that this director has done have been really good.
Yeah. And I felt like this could have been really good.
This absolutely could have been.
It missed the mark.
All right. So this, again, is starring Gerard Butler, Michelle Monaghan.
I love her. I think Luke does, too.
She was right underneath Jennifer Connelly.
And Michael Shannon played Donnie, previously referenced.
I like him, too.
He's great.
He's an absolute, kind of like when we were talking about with Morbius, the guy, Mike, whatever his name was, who played Milo. Yeah. Just a very interesting-looking person who can play certain roles.
So let's talk a little bit about Lynn, his wife, Michelle Monaghan. We talked kind of about his character. Let's talk about her. Mm-hmm. How'd you think she did?
I thought she did great.
As a actress? In her performance?
Okay. Yeah, putting on the character, playing the character that she was given, because she's a biker roadie, stripper at night, turn Faith. And, throughout the movie, she became very passive in the relationship, which you would think with the male dominance that Childers would have, right? But at the same time, she never lost her faith or her aspect of family or everything. She always kept her eyes on the prize at the end of the day, which was her spirituality and her family. And she, even though she knew what he was doing, was not helping them out, was not doing anything, she still let him do it and didn't leave him.
Would you argue that her faith is all she had?
Yes.
Her faith in her family, yeah.
I would agree.
And I feel like that's why she clung so tightly to it, is that she really didn't have a support system in her husband. She really didn't have any other... I mean, they come from, frankly, a trailer park, low class, low wealth, not a lot of options. And I do feel like a lot of times these are people that tend to cling very strongly to religion for hope.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why she still remained with him, is she was hoping that the spirituality at some point would bring him back.
Interesting. Okay.
I think that's shown. Yeah. I would agree with that.
So Luke, what do you think? What do you think about her character?
I can't really fault her character, because like Justin said, it's how it was written. And so her portrayal of the character was good. The character was one dimensional, in my opinion.
Thank you.
Very one dimensional.
Thank you.
There to provide the voice of, what am I looking for? Just there to provide the voice of reason to somebody who's not listening to reason. But they had to have somebody provide that.
They had some kind of grounding.
And I think that we're meant to kind of possibly even sympathize with her a bit, like with her character, with watching this man spiral into obsession. Mm-hmm. That's how I saw it as the first time viewer.
No, yeah. 100%.
That he was absolutely out of control.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I liked her. I think the actress is beautiful, personally.
Yeah, she's fun to watch.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing her strip.
Yeah, there you go.
I mean, that could have added a nice dimension.
Yeah. Especially if she had to go back to stripping vendettas.
Was it rated R?
I think it was 13.
I think it was 13.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Just surprising when you see, a little boy clubbing his own mother and different things that we saw.
It's true. I don't get it.
It's the difference between a movie made in the 90s and 2011.
That's true.
But okay, let's talk a little bit about Donnie's character. Would you argue that he is what kept her grounded for a while with her husband being gone?
I felt like...
Because he almost stepped in as second dad.
Yeah, yes. Sam was her project once he got out. Sam was her focus, and she was trying to bring him to the light, but she was unable to once he got on this obsession, right? Once he got this vendetta, he was out of control, and she would say what she could and try and change him, but there was no changing him. So when Donnie came, it was like she was the passion. He became the passion project. You know what I mean? This was her second chance to help somebody redeem themselves for what they had previously done.
I also think he filled a void.
Definitely. 100% filled the void.
Just a male presence.
An emotional connection. Even if it wasn't a love interest, it was a friend, a companionship.
Yeah.
Well, naturally, when you have a faith base as strong as they portray that she did, you want your partner to be there with you and to share that with you. And since he wasn't, Donnie was the person who she was able to share that with.
Correct.
I think there was an underlying jealousy.
I don't think it was underlying at all. Yeah. I think it was shown.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why he yells and slaps him and tells him he's just a dog and get the fuck out of my house. And
he was deep in his obsession at that point. So it was there all along.
Yeah.
Like that thought those that thought process was there all along, but it took the catalyst, which was what he it was. I think he was going off on not having money for the daughter's limo or something.
Correct. Didn't want to spend the money on her limo.
Exactly. Yeah. So I mean, I like Donnie. I liked him a lot. I thought he was realistic.
His character was essential.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's what drove and grounded Michelle Monaghan while Lynn, mm-hmm. while Sam was off the rails.
Exactly.
Well said, off the rails.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. So one of the scenes that I really actually liked about this movie was, and it was not that important of a scene, like plot wise. It was the tornado scene.
Oh, yeah. It was great.
Mm-hmm. And what I loved about that scene is it actually showed him as a father, him trying to calm his daughter down, him trying to protect his family.
When he's laying on top of the
trap door.
I felt like there was hope at that
point. And talking to her and trying to play a game with her, you know, and I thought that was.
I did like that part.
A powerful scene that actually gave dimension to him.
Yeah. It showed him to be the father that Lynn hoped that he was going to be.
Correct.
And in that moment, she saw that. And I feel like she tried to hold on to that, hoping that this guy was going to come back someday.
Yeah.
But the movie shows you that that dude ain't coming back.
Was she also an addict?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
She was also an addict. And, you know, I saw that scene. I thought it was powerful. You know what I mean? Because in that moment, he was doing whatever it took to protect his family,
right? Agreed.
Like you said. But then to right after that, like, he became immediately opportunistic. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? He was able to, I mean, capitalist society that we live in, that's what you do, but you see a need and you fill it. You know what I mean?
Well, and I think that was the first chance, the first time outside of church on Sunday that he felt a glimmer of hope in his life.
True.
He had no other opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that was his reality of, I can take care of my family. I can support. I can be something.
Mm-hmm. True.
So I actually thought the filming of that scene was incredible.
It was.
I did too.
It was. I mean, him laying on top of the hole with them underneath it.
The whole thing shaking. Yeah. The cinematography. I thought it was a really well portrayed scene, and actually one of the better
scenes in the movie.
I thought it was just a super unique scene in general.
Yeah.
Like, I had never seen anything quite like it.
How many movies have we seen with tornadoes and twisters? So many. Yeah. I've never seen it done quite that way. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So I'll give it that.
Mm-hmm.
What else do I want to bring up here? Oh, yeah. He was a hillbilly from Pennsylvania.
Yeah. That took place in Pennsylvania.
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk a little bit about the LRA and Coney.
Okay.
So this is a real person. Yes. And Coney's orders, the LRA stands for the Lord's Resistance Army.
Of course, it's got to be faith.
Oh, of course.
Well, and that's what I wanted to bring up. So
there is no genocide without faith.
Well, take it back to the Crusades.
I know.
I mean, so anyway, both Coney and Childers have spent their lives
fighting
for God.
Mm-hmm.
In their perspective and in their mind, they are pushing God's will. It's kind of an interesting perspective.
Really, when you think of it in those words, in those terms, yes.
Because it's whose side are you on? I mean, I think most people are going to side with Childers on this one.
Right.
Yeah.
But both men truly believe that they are God's army.
And that's what makes them as dangerous as they are.
100%.
Like, it's
religious zealots.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You agreed. Know,
fanatics, like you said earlier. But I mean, from the side of Coney, I mean, they're murdering and burning people. You know what I mean? Chopping off arms. They're making children commit horrendous acts. Mm-hmm. They're turning little girls into sex slaves there. I mean, it's fucking horrible. Why do you think you don't see anything about this on the media? I mean, it's been happening for over 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, that's one of Childers' biggest beasts with this movie is they took 30 years of his life and put it into a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I could see why he'd be pissed.
You know what I mean? And you don't see anything like this. Like we saw, you know, Gaddafi and things of that nature. His crimes were never this, this crazy. You know, there's been chemical weapons used in, you know, other countries in the Middle East and stuff. And then the United States will step in and bomb them and try and overthrow the government. Why do you think none of this is happening in Sudan?
You thought-provoking motherfucker.
Just saying.
I know.
That's really interesting.
I agree.
Like, more murder and genocide things happen in Africa on a daily basis than have happened in most countries historically, period.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yet it takes a movie like this, or like Blood Diamond or some others, you know, the, what's that one? The Land with No Borders or Fathers, the Idris Elba one, where he's kind of like this Joseph Kony type person.
Well, there's Last King of Scotland.
The Last King of Scotland. Yeah. Well, Idi Amin, I mean, he was a whole nother story of ruthless, but, it takes movies like that to shine any light on it. But I mean, for the media that seems to be so emotional, you know what I mean? And try and draw at people's emotions. Why don't they tell us anything about this?
Interesting. No, it's interesting.
So Joseph, there's no money to be made.
Yeah.
There's no, I mean, doesn't push an agenda. That
right. doesn't make the money to stop it.
Correct.
Cause they want those guns to keep firing. It's dollar signs every time one gets fired. Right.
Well, Joseph Kony started the LRA in 1987. He is still alive.
35 years later.
And Childers is still trying to track him down.
My God. It's like, I mean, almost too much to fathom. I mean, this is like
life mission between the two of them.
It really is too much to fathom almost that this exists.
Mm-hmm. So Kony crossed Uganda, Sudan, Congo, and Central African Republic.
Wow.
So there's quite a lot of territory that he has spread his terror.
In the name of God.
And continuing to do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I read this and thought this was interesting. It's a story of pursuit and pursued, as both believe God is on their side.
Wow. Pretty good summation, in my
opinion. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So the United States actually sent troops and 17 advisors and analysts to gather intelligence and find Kony, and he was not found. Never captured.
With United States resources.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Sounds like a deal was made.
I don't see if that's possible.
17 analysts couldn't figure this out.
Yeah, and analysts are code for CIA.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Thought that was kind of interesting.
Shit done when they want to.
Yeah.
When they want to, when they're motivated.
When it serves them.
Correct. Okay. So Kony was actually banished from Uganda. He has 42 kids and he is a self-proclaimed Christian. He was baptized and he's fighting for a Christian Uganda. That is his platform.
Across four countries.
Yes.
Cool.
And he is being serious when.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. This is serious.
I just mean like, and he doesn't see himself as anything but a crusader.
Correct.
But I mean, everything's the crusades, there that though, you need to know in the name. Mm-hmm. Resistance Army.
Yeah. You got a point.
Speaking of the Crusades, this is the most prevalent religion in Sudan and Uganda are Islam and Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a modern crusade.
I don't know what
to say. So I think these things are actually more interesting to talk about, like the talking points that came out of this movie.
It's part of the reason why I picked it.
Yes. Than actually watching
the movie itself.
The portrayal of the movie.
Mm-hmm. I can't argue.
So I think that the agenda of the movie, that's why I say I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it was a little weak.
Mm-hmm. Missed the mark.
Yeah.
I felt that it just dragged.
Mm.
Like, I can't even fathom.
But I saw you light up inside when that little girl with missing all her teeth started singing.
Oh,
a Christian worship song.
Yes.
Didn't we say that it must have been somebody's daughter?
Yeah.
I don't know who chose light that up girl.
Inside. Someone in the production's
if
kid.
Light up is cringe, yes, I did.
You glowed.
I did, didn't I?
You glowed. I felt like you found your new mission in life. And it was to make sure she never sings for anybody ever again.
And I felt like a bastard afterwards when she finally came on the camera. Like,
I mean, it was pretty painful.
It was. As long as I'm not alone.
No.
I don't know why they put that microphone in front of her.
Nor
like,
do I.
Like we said, it had to be like a producer's daughter who thinks she was going to have a music career or something. And who knows? Maybe she does now.
It could be Carrie Underwood for all I know.
It's 11 years. It's been 11 years since this movie
came out. Katy Perry. Carly Rae Jepsen.
I mean, she was originally a Christian singer. So
Kesha.
It's Kesha.
It is Kesha.
That girl wasn't drunk enough.
All right. So I feel like 100% the things that Childers is doing is a calling, right? Because this is, whether it's an obsession, a calling, fanaticism, compulsion. 100%. This is not something that the average Joe is going to devote their life to.
No.
Most people would try to get the hell out of there.
Most people would try and be just like outside donators.
Right. Yeah. Here's $100.
Yeah, exactly. And then feel good about themselves for the following year.
Yeah, right.
After the tax.
I mean, that sounds really tacky and dismissive, but I think more people are going to fall on that side than like go and actually put themselves in harm's way to do this.
I agree. And I do have admiration for him, for what he is doing. The portrayal of him is where I kind of draw my line.
He's still trying to get a better portrayal out. So like one of the articles I met is the filmmakers and then some writers were trying to catch up with him. And he was getting a documentary made 3 years after this movie came out to show, no, this is actually who I am.
You know, could you blame him?
I can't. I can't. Yeah. I mean, put yourself in his position. I totally understand why he would.
He's trying to save his own name. I mean, yeah. It's in essence, it's slander.
Well, and like I said, 30 years of his life looped into a 2-hour movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's only so much you can show and it's got a.
And they didn't really show 30 years of progression.
No, I mean, it seemed like a few years. I mean, you go from the little girl being like 6 or 7 to like a teenager. Right. It was like every time he would see her, she was a couple years older.
Oh, I felt
and a new actress.
I felt it fluctuated. Like she went back to being younger, then back to being older. I felt it was odd.
The timeline was a little weird.
Like somebody screwed up on the cutting of the movie, like and added a scene that they didn't intend to earlier on. And just leave it.
Fuck it.
Yeah. Fuck it. No one's going to be podcasting about this movie.
No one cares.
Yeah. I mean, it's called Machine Gun Preacher. They know what they're getting.
I mean, yeah.
You can't argue that point by
the title is not all that.
I wonder how Childers felt about Machine Gun Preacher being the title. Like,
I don't know.
Apparently that's what they actually called him. Was Machine Gun Preacher.
Okay.
So maybe it was appreciated.
I mean, I guess, yeah. I don't know. It seems like an oxymoron, which I know they intended it. Machine Gun Preacher. Dry ice.
One thing I found interesting is that during that same interview that I read, Sam Childers went on a rant about Obama. And I guess Obama has direct connections to the leader of Sudan, to Joseph Kony.
Does that surprise anybody?
Shocker. And he also calls out Blackwater, which is like the biggest privatized army in the world. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of mercenary work in the Middle East and different places and in Africa. And I guess he's not the only one out there. They want to be paid to go do things. What I mean? So he calls out a lot of people, but you know, unless we watch the documentary, and I guess
which I'd like to see. I mean, knowing
it might
what
give
I
us
know
a different perspective.
It, yeah, knowing what I know about the story and the things that he's accomplished, however Hollywoodish it is, I'd be curious to see what's more, in his opinion, realistic to him.
Mm-hmm. It would be interesting to see it and then just compare the dynamics between the two characters.
Yeah,
and see what kind of liberties were taken.
Yeah.
What's it called?
Machine Gun Preacher.
Oh,
shocker. Shocker. And apparently there's going to be
not a copyright violation.
Mm-mm.
Huh.
So we could name this Machine Gun Preacher podcast.
Yeah.
And nobody would say
no.
All right.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Okay.
Yeah. Apparently there's going to be a second movie.
Are you serious?
We'll see if it actually happens. They're supposed to start filming this year.
This is the epitome of like a close-ended movie.
There's not a whole lot. Especially because the way the movie ended, it talked about how he's still doing this and doing that. So I did read that he was trying to come back to the U.S. during the pandemic and got shut out and left in Sudan or Uganda, one of them, because of the pandemic. And he just finally got back to the U.S.
I can believe it.
Believable.
Well, that was interesting.
Yeah, very interesting.
Fun fact, maybe. Maybe not that
fun. Just another fun fact about the pandemic.
Just a fact.
Anyone else getting sick of hearing about it?
Mm-hmm. I haven't heard much about it lately. Which good is point, actually. Nice.
Yeah, it is refreshing kinda not nice. To have the ticker in the corner of every single news crawl.
Right.
Yeah.
Justin, this was your pick. Any other topics you would like to bring up?
No, I think we've covered most of them. You know, I just, like I said, like the title of the movie and the premise makes you think that this is going to be like a feel good movie and you're going to see somebody become like a savior. You don't see that.
No.
You know what I mean? You see somebody, like I said earlier, trade an addiction for an addiction and become obsessive and compulsive. And honestly, in my opinion, the way the movie depicts him, turn into a Kony just with his own methods.
Yeah, that's just it. They have similar agendas. It's just what side do you fall on?
Right. Exactly. And what do you believe in?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well said.
Okay. Luke?
No, I can't think of any, actually.
I know you said that the movie dragged, like, Linus's blanket personified.
I have a problem with dragging movies. And this one, for whatever reason, felt longer than it probably was.
Didn't you love the game on words that him and his daughter would play?
Every time it would come on the screen.
I forgot about that shit. Oh, my God. What was that again?
It banana. Sounds like bug. You said bug.
I say hug. Oh, no. That gave me like...
It was cute when it started in the tornado scene.
Oh, sure.
And it was like okay, that makes sense. They're trying to, he's trying to distract her and get her through the thing. But that was the only fucking connection.
Yeah.
They had
period.
Through the whole movie.
Well, and that was one of the things that Childers was pissed is the way that they depicted the relationship between him and his daughter, because he claims it's very strong and that she's never seen him be angry, abusive, do drugs or anything like that. And the movie shows you totally different sides.
It really
of the
does.
Relationship.
It really does.
And the movie probably took liberties and made things more extreme to be
enhance the viewing experience.
Yeah, it made it more
Hollywood.
Yes,
Hollywood gave it more controversy.
Hollywoodization.
Yeah. Right. Okay. let's move on to budgets.
Not a lot, I'm sure, because if Childers was still waiting to get paid a few years later.
So remind me, did he say how much he was supposed to get paid?
No, he said he took a very small
piece
up front and was waiting for, like, in his words, a massive payout.
Based on what? Like the
which would make sense why he would be a part of this to get the payout to fund.
To help, because he had made some money off the book. But according to him, he put all that money back.
Right. I see. Okay.
Into that's how he actually built the dormitories and stuff that we see when he goes back and builds it out of brick and everything. That was from the book money.
Okay. Oh, that's interesting. Okay. All right. Luke, but blah, budget.
$17 million.
Justin.
I was going to go 22.
$30 million budget.
Wow. That's a lot.
Box office.
Would they use real rocket launchers?
Maybe. Box office.
I mean, there was a lot of destruction.
There was.
Box office. I'm going to go 28 million.
Okay. Justin.
I feel like
I'm going to go 35 just because I hope it broke even. And that would have made it like $1 million. I hope this dude gets paid something.
Drum roll, please. $3.3 million.
Holy shit.
I'm sorry for yelling.
Taint.
Damn.
No wonder he's still waiting to get paid.
Fucking taint.
That should make me feel good, but it does.
I mean,
it's got to be the worst grossing Gerard Butler movie ever.
Maybe ever.
Worse than Dracula 2000.
That's probably why Luke never heard of it.
Probably. Yeah.
I've never heard of it before you brought it to my attention.
It was on like HBO or something.
So, okay. IMDb.
3.4.
Justin?
6.1.
Luke was exactly in half.
Yeah.
6.8.
Oh.
Oh.
Luke was exactly in half.
In half. Yeah. Good job, bud.
I do what I can.
Good job.
Rotten Tomatoes critics.
38%.
Okay, Justin.
71.
28.
Oh, fuck.
Which means it did 11% better than Morbius.
Wow.
Not cool. Not cool, critics.
Wow.
Okay. All right, Rotten Tomato audience.
Audience is significantly always higher. 64%.
Okay.
I was going to go 67, so I guess I'm close to Luke.
62.
Oh, pretty nice. Good. Nice job, dude.
And then it got 5 out of 5 on Facebook.
Of course it did.
Yeah, of course. 5 out of 5. Great.
Sure. Why not?
So one person voted.
Yeah, right.
The producer's son.
No, the not little girl.
Kid.
It was the little girl that sang.
Right, yes.
Right.
Because of her performance. Way to go, Kesha.
All right. So, Justin, it was your pick. Your rating first, please, sir.
I'm going to go. Okay. First time I watched this, I would have probably rated it a B+.
Okay.
The second time I watched this, solid B. This time, I got to go with a C-.
Okay. Can you elaborate?
Elaborate at all?
Well, I think I've got into it a little bit, you know, on some of it. But it's just, I feel like the movie wanted to portray him as a religious crusader and wanted just to connect to a cause and potentially donate money to this guy to help him take out Coney and the LRA, right?
I think if they made him more likable, we would have been more likely
exactly,
to do that.
Yeah. You know, I found myself this third time totally disconnected from him and analyzing him and seeing that the movie portrayed him as a severely flawed person, mm-hmm. you know, and that he was out for himself. You know what I mean? He was doing all of this for him and not for anybody else. And so, you know, I give it a C- because I think it's a decent movie. You know what I mean? But it missed the mark on a lot of things.
Okay. I wonder if maybe some of that spin on him being out for himself is because the writer or director, whatever you said that went and traveled with him, mm-hmm. felt that he was trying to get this made for himself, for the money, for the cause.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was their own spin on it.
Sure.
Just curious. Huh.
Yeah.
All right, Luke.
Well, my notes have it as a C- as well.
Oh. Oh, God, it's weird when you two agree.
But I'm waiting for the but.
But hold on. As what usually happens when we start talking about these things and dissecting them and things come up that I didn't know and weren't aware of, it changes it significantly. So I'm going to go with an A+. I'm going to, sorry, I just want to see your reaction. I'm going to go with the D+.
Okay.
And the reasons are because I can't put my finger on exactly what dragged and exactly what could have been taken out of it. However, it dragged. It just, there's nobody that could look me in the eyes and tell me this movie didn't drag.
It did.
So that's a pet peeve. Other than that, I tend to agree with a lot of what you said, Justin.
Okay. Yeah, I think one level difference in grade is still pretty close.
Yeah, it's pretty much what you said is what I would say as well as my gripes. There was very few parts or scenes in this movie that I can cling to as, you know, I enjoyed that, but the tornado scene is one of them. Mm-hmm. I felt that his depiction in drug addiction was pretty accurate.
It was very accurate.
And his spiral into fanaticism was interesting to watch. So those are kind of the pluses I gave, but well, I just feel that the message was so heavy handed.
It was. And one of the things that I had taken note before pitching this movie to you guys, and one of the reasons I put on the list for the movies that I wanted to watch is there's a quote from Sam Childers and it says, I ask you, if a madman came in and abducted your child and I said to you that I can bring your child home, does it really matter how I get them home?
It's a valid point. And that's what I was saying about while I personally agree with what his goal is mm-hmm. to stop this. Do I agree with his methods?
Exactly.
No, I don't, because I just don't condone that kind of behavior. However, I don't think there's any other way to deal with these kind of people.
No, there's not.
And that sounds terrible.
I mean, you have to fight violence with violence.
It's not condoning violence, but there's nothing else is happening.
There's correct. No reasoning with pure evil, more or less.
No. And he's trying to put a stop to it. I think
they're right and that they're in the moral high ground.
I mean, come on, we got Osama, but we can't get Coney.
Yeah. And has anyone ever heard of Coney before this?
Exactly. No, I haven't. Nobody.
And I mean, Idi Amin, yes.
Yeah.
Lots of other.
I mean, but there's books written about Idi Amin. You know what I mean?
But I'd never heard of Joseph Coney.
No.
Nor have
most people haven't.
And his point that you just brought up, valid. I'm telling you, a parent whose child gets taken away is going to be out for blood.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And you can't, nobody can blame them.
No.
Nobody on this earth can blame
them.
And
so how do you get him back? Doesn't matter. Give me back my kid.
Right.
Well, and it's crazy because I'm on the website right now and I'm looking at the movie poster and the quote that they put on the movie poster is, hope is the greatest weapon of all.
Oh God. Okay. So my rating, my turn. I give it a C-, very, 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 like 70% flat.
Okay. Like graded on curve.
Just above the
D+. Just above the D+.
Gotcha.
And for me, the reason it's in that range is it didn't portray anybody well.
Right. Mm-hmm. There was nobody we could really get behind.
He was like an anti-hero.
Yeah.
But not in
yeah.
a good way.
Right.
I'd agree.
It didn't portray evangelicals or born-again Christians or anybody in any sort of a redeemable light.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of like a more rounded character. And we know this from all 38 of our prior reviews. Yes. I tend to harp on that. I didn't put it in the D range because for me to hit a D range, it's not just that the movie lacked, but that there was significant flaws. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely flaws in this. But I think the bigger picture is to bring attention to what is happening.
Yeah, and there was a lot of enjoyable scenes.
My biggest problem with the movie is how they chose to portray him. Mm-hmm. He was unlikable. Had he been more likable, this would have been a much higher rated movie.
Amen.
Therefore, I can't D it.
Yeah.
And what
that's
was
just my...
No, I totally agree
what
with
What was the IMDb rating again?
6.8.
6.8, yeah.
Because the documentary that he did after this...
So he did it. It's done.
...is called Machine Gun Preacher, documentary. And IMDb gave it an 8.6.
I want to see it.
Okay. I'm curious.
I'm definitely curious. Yes. I would like to see it because I feel like that for me is my biggest gripe. Now, the religion was a little heavy handed for me.
Yes.
Okay. The violence was accurate, but gruesome and not my favorite. So I give it a C minus.
Rambo-esque.
Especially the rocket launcher scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, I mean, I could understand people going like, you know, fuck yeah, you know, take him out. Yeah. But at the same time,
kid running after the dog and getting his leg blown off.
Horrific.
Yeah. There's some stuff. I do have a question. The scene with him and the kid that didn't speak mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden spoke. Was that a positive addition? Do you think?
Or
do you think
it was unnecessary? I did not understand what the dynamic was, why they would do it like that.
I felt like at that point, it made me feel like the movie was almost self-aware. Almost like how we say the Scream movies are self-aware. Mm-hmm. And it was like, the movie was self-aware to the fact that it knew Sam Childers was out of fucking control.
And needed some relatability.
And that this kid that had done something horrific himself to save his own life, even though, you know, his mom told him to do it. She was sacrificing herself basically for her children, mm-hmm. right? That that kid was not speaking because he couldn't deal with the pain that he had, right? And so for him to come to him and give him like something profound was the movie coming out and trying to recover. But I still feel like it wasn't enough.
I feel like they could have pushed that same agenda in a different way.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. All right. So C-, D plus, C-.
Machine Gun Preacher.
C-, maybe. I don't know. Very low C.
Graded on a curve.
Yeah. Graded on a curve.
There you go.
70%. All right. Machine Gun Preacher.
Full circle reviews. Not a solid endorsement, but hey.
It's worth a watch if you're doing nothing on a Sunday and just came home from church.
And it happens to be on TV.
Yeah. It's on TV all the time.
All right, everybody. Have a great time. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
See ya.